Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
I'm John Batsu with Sean Kingsley and Rex Cowan, the author of the new book, The Pirate King, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy. Avery's gone. He's disappeared. It's now 1696 in an inn called The World's End. And in that inn at that day is a man contemplating his own fate. His name is Foe, but he takes on the name Defoe because it sounds more princely. He's always in trouble. He's always in debt. He's always come up with new schemes. He was born well, and he lost it in a big gamble of sailing from one side of the world to the other. And he needs a way out. And the way out, of course, is that he's made friends with the reigning monarch, King William, who came over in the Glorious Revolution. Rex, I come to you at this moment because you meet Foe, that you introduce Foe, who becomes Defoe. And your measure of him as a, not just as a novelist, we know him as Robinson Crusoe, as a merchantman. Is this representative of the time you gambled and you won big or you lost? Thanks, Rex.
Well, yes. I mean, he was the subject of discussions. He was part of the swashbuckling life that was that characterized his type. He was a source of extremely interesting and exciting stories. He was really an important character who fleshed himself out with his exploits and was probably known, you know, quite commonly in the streets and talked about for his exploits and characterized as the sort of swashbuckling rapist that so many pirates were drawn as, because the stories were more interesting. But behind him, what we really didn't know was a very political man.
Oh, you're speaking of Henry Avery. I was speaking of Defoe. So I go to Defoe on you, Sean. Just fill in the blanks, because Defoe one morning finds a man in a wig who is Henry Avery that Rex has just described. Who is Defoe at that moment when they've known each other before, many years before? Who is Defoe at that moment?
So everyone thinks of Daniel Defoe as the guy who wrote the first novel, Robinson Crusoe, was an amazing novelist, but first and foremost, he was actually a true bread merchant in his own terms. His father was a merchant, dealt in tobacco, wine, beer, hosiery, and he followed in those footsteps, and he should have been very comfortable. His father left him a nice sum of money. He married a very hot 19-year-old and came with a dowry of £500,000. Thank you very much. But, you know, this is a guy who was reckless. He never knew how to quit. You could say that he had an addiction to almost sort of betting in his mentality. And there's a reason for that. He had a massive chip on his shoulder. He was called a dissenter, and dissenters were kind of a religious minority, a subgroup of Protestants who weren't accepted because they didn't follow the prayer book of the Church of England. What did that mean? It meant you had a target on your back. You were always looking where you were going. You couldn't get a good education. He wanted to go to Oxford and Cambridge. He couldn't. He had to go to Morton's Academy. And so he kind of made up for this. He overcompensated in his life to try and prove the world wrong. But every time he got there and he could see the promised land, you know, he fell from glory. So we find him in Tilbury, down by the river at Tilbury in London. It's a boggy, marshy area where, you know, it's not fit for a fine gentleman. But he's bought this tile factory, and fancy Dutch tiles are becoming all the rage in high society. And he's making a lot of quid. He's doing very well, thank you very much, and set up a little pub. But also he started to get the eye of people of importance, and he's feeding them information, and he's watching the people coming and going up the river and through the customs house, and he's biding his time, trying to get his fortunes up again, because he's constantly in debt, in prison, and this is a good place to lick his wounds and wait for the winds to change.
And the winds change with that man sitting there in a wig, because he recognizes him. Rex, the man you were describing is Avery in disguise. There's a manhunt out for him, and the manhunt is getting closer to him all the time because his crew is being captured. They throw their money around. At this moment, does Avery have a good chance of escaping, or is he a desperate man, in your measure, Rex?
A good chance of escaping. It depends who was after him and what they were after him for. I mean, were they after him because he was a menace? By that time, it was no longer, he was a menace, maybe on land politically, but by that time, I mean, he had given up his pirate's role. I would have thought that he was much more dangerous for people as a political adversary. And it would appear that his role was really in keeping Scotland particularly safe from Jacobite conspiracies against Queen Anne. And he must have become, I think, much more of a political person by the time he had ravaged the seas and obtained his fortune, which, of course, gave him the freedom to be a political adversary. What I think this book does is show you just what lies behind the rather elementary descriptions that the popular fictions really gave to pirates. Here was somebody, a pirate with a brain. I think some people called him the gentleman pirate, because while his fellow pirates were up robbing and raving, he was locked down in his cabin, away from the screams of the people who were being tortured and robbed and so on. So there was I think the thing that has come out of all the research which Sean has done and so on is to show a very, very different side of a popular figure of the day who was given a rather simplistic character by the public.
We're going to turn to that relationship, Rex, in just a moment. The book is The Pirate King, The Strange Adventures of Henry Avery and the Birth of the Golden Age of Piracy, 1696. The two principles here: Henry Avery in disguise and Daniel Defoe looking for an opportunity. And he says to a man he must have known for many years, "You know, maybe we can arrange a pardon. Let me think about it. When we come back, what happened?" This is The Pirate King, Sean Kingsley and Rex Cowan. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Chances are, you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your Social Security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info, and if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART, or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.